Deuteronomy chapter 6, your Schofield Bible, page 224. We'll be reading four verses here, starting with the fourth verse and reading through the seventh. The text verse for this passage is the fifth verse, and then we'll be turning to the book of Matthew after we read that. Special hello to the folks at Muncie. That's my hometown. What's funny about that? Oh, I'm embarrassed. But thank God for Grace Baptist Church. I wish there'd been a Grace Baptist Church when I was young. I might have amounted to something. Let's stand, please. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with the fourth verse, we'll read responsively these four verses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Turn now to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, page 1031 in your Schofield Bible. We'll read verses 37 through 40. The text verse here is verse 37. We'll read these verses responsively. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And let's pray. Father, thou hast been so richly good to us. We praise thee. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this place where the preaching of it has been a special place in our lives. And so we pray that once again this day that thou wouldst touch our hearts with thy word and the preaching of thy preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me, without you turning to it, read the passage read a while ago. Said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Then let me read another one that we read a while ago from Matthew. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. If you wanted to take these and other passages that are like that, you could sort of boil it all down in saying, God is saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy might, or with all thy strength. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, I am His High Priest. We hear an awful lot about the fact that He is our High Priest, and well, He is. But there's more to the priesthood than that. Not only is He my High Priest, but I am His High Priest. Father, here we are again, same people, basically, same building. And yet we have different needs than we had last week. We all have one thing in common. We all have needs. And I pray this morning you'd help thy man, weak and feeble though he is. And I pray you'd help him to be able to be used of the Spirit of God to feed the people this morning. Bless this hour as we think of things eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. The idea of mediation is widely illustrated in the Bible. We see it in the story of Joseph, when he was the mediator between his brethren and the government of Egypt in order to provide food for them during the famine. We see it in the story of Esther, who went before the king, mediating for the people of Israel in an effort to spare their destruction as planned and plotted by the government. We see the idea of mediation in Moses, when Moses came to God and begged God not to destroy the people, interceding and mediating for the people between God and man. We see it in the story of Abraham, when Abraham was a mediator between God and the city of Sodom because of his nephew Lot, who was in the city. When he came and said, "Dear God, do not destroy the city. If I could find 50 righteous people, would you spare the city?" God said he would. Abraham could not find 50 righteous people. "Dear God, if I could find 40 righteous people, would you spare the city?" God said he would. Abraham could not find 40 righteous people. "Dear God, if I could find 30 righteous people in Sodom, would you spare the city for my son, my nephew, like a son, Lot?" God said he would. Abraham could not find 30 righteous people. He came back to God and said, "God, if I could find 20 righteous people, would you spare the city?" God said that he would. Abraham could not find 20 righteous people. He finally came back to God and said, "Dear God, if I could find 10 righteous people, would you spare the city?" And God said, "I will." Abraham could not find the 10 righteous people. One of the most beautiful pictures in all the Bible of mediation. Abraham mediating between God and his nephew. Moses mediating between God and his people. Esther mediating between the king and the Israelites about to be executed. Joseph mediating between his brothers and the government of Egypt. The most striking story or illustration of mediation in all the Bible, however, is Aaron the high priest. I'm laying the foundation for the message, so listen carefully. Aaron the high priest, as he entered into the holy place to intercede for his people, he wore garments that were symbolic. For example, on his heart was engraven in precious jewels the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On his shoulders, engraved in gold, were the same names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On his head was a crown, and on that crown was engraved holiness to the Lord. Now, see him as he entered into the holy place, interceding for his people. Writing on his brow, on his shoulders, and on his heart. You see, he's entering into the holy place to intercede for his people. And as he went to the holy place to go before God to intercede for his people, he first had the names of those he loved on his heart. He loved his people. The symbol here is as Aaron the high priest went inside the holy place to mediate, his people were on his heart. He was thinking about his people. Their names were next to his heart. And then as he went there, on his shoulders also, he was bearing the burdens of his people as he entered into the holy place to be their mediator. But also the engraving on his crown, on his brow, meant that he was thinking about his people. This was no formal ritual that Aaron was performing. Aaron was walking inside the holy place in the very presence of God, because out yonder were people that he loved, and so he had their names next to his heart. And people about whom he thought as he walked in, he was thinking about those people. And as he walked in, he was bearing the burdens of those people on his shoulders. Because he loved them, he thought of them and bore their burdens. The real high priest is Jesus. Aaron was simply a symbol pointing to our mediator, our intercessor, our go-between, our advocate, our lawyer. And as Aaron entered into the holy place, bearing the names of the 12 tribes of Israel next to his heart, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on his shoulders, and holiness to the Lord on his crown, symbolizes the fact
that our Lord Jesus likewise entered into the Holy of Holies. For the holy place on earth was but a symbol of the holy place in heaven. And the mercy seat inside the Holy of Holies was but a symbol of that heavenly mercy seat. And it was only a pattern of the real mercy seat in the glory world. And the blood that was sprinkled to the high priest on the mercy seat in the tabernacle was but symbolic. That was only the blood of a lamb, of an animal. But that was symbolic that someday the Lamb of God would go to Calvary and pay the penalty for our sins, and as our substitute would die for us and shed his blood. But as our high priest, he would rise triumphantly from the grave, and he would take his own blood and take that blood into the very presence of God himself and sprinkle the very blood that was shed on Calvary on the mercy seat. And bless God this morning, the blood that dropped from his body on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago is in the very presence of my God today. But as he is there today interceding for me as my high priest, and that's what he's doing. Somebody said, well, I wonder what Jesus is doing today. That's easy. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, pleading my case, interceding for me. He's my mediator. He's my go-between. I was reading again the other day, book of Job, when Job was at the bottom of his ladder, down all the way in the basement, and Job said, oh, he said, if there were just somebody, a daysman, if there were some mediator that could know God and also know me. Job said if he could just reach down and know how I feel right now and reach up and know God, and if there's somebody that could know God and also know me, that could reach up and explain me to God and explain God to me. He said, oh, there was somebody, a daysman. I hollered as I read that the other day. I took my Bible, looked at it, said, Job, there is somebody like that. There is somebody like that. Jesus reaches up to God this morning and through his death on Calvary satisfies the holy demands of a righteous God and reaches down to me and says, God loves you. From seeking sand, he lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me and he reaches down to me and says, God loves you, and reaches up to God and says, the blood has been shed, and takes the hand of Almighty God and pulls the hand of God to my hand, and God and I can fellowship. Why? Because I have a mediator. But I want you to notice something this morning about that mediator. If everything that Aaron wore was symbolic of my Savior, I'd like to tell you this morning the names of those 12 tribes of Israel next to the heart, engraved next to the heart, in precious stones next to the heart of the high priest. That simply tells me that Jesus, while he's doing his intercessory work today, has me next to his heart. He has my name and your name written next to his heart. And as he goes, as the high priest walked inside the holy place, and as he went about his duty as representing the people, interceding for the people, he thought about them. He thought about those tribes scattered out yonder around in the camp. He said, I'm going on behalf of, and he called, had the names of his tribes right here. And then as he walked in, he thought about them and loved them and bore on his shoulders their burdens. And my Savior likewise this morning, as he goes about his intercessory mediatorship in the glory land today, my Savior has me on his heart. You know what I'm going to say. You've heard me say it 10,000 times, 10,000. You know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the thing I've said more than I've made any other statement I've said in these almost 30 years as your pastor. You've heard me say it. You've heard me whisper it. You've heard me weep while I said it and shout while I said it. He loves you. He loves you. How many times have I shouted from this pulpit? I don't know any better news than that. The God, the Creator, loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones and fat ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful love in the Bible I see. And this is the reason Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Bathe in it this morning. He loves you. The high priest, as he sits at the right hand of the Father this morning, interceding, as is our advocate. It's no formal ritual for Jesus. He's up there loving you while he does it this morning. He loves you. I don't know any better news than that. I want to stop and say something to you, too. Let's suppose while Jesus, while the high priest was entering into the holy place, let's suppose those names of the 12 tribes of Israel there on his heart. Let's suppose that news came to him just before he walked in the holy place that one of those 12 tribes of Israel had done something bad. The high priest didn't reach and take that tribe off his heart. He didn't get a knife and dig that name out and take that jewel on which was engraved the name of that tribe. The condition of the 12 tribes had nothing to do with it. The high priest loved them. He loved you this morning if you're walking beside him. He loves you this morning if you're walking a long ways from him. He loves you this morning if the fellowship is sweet and tender. He loves you this morning if the fellowship is broken. He loves you this morning if you're walking in his will. He loves you if you're not walking in his will. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. My high priest this morning goes about his priestly duties, and on his heart, the name of Jack Hiles is there. He loves me. I was preaching in Ohio, Milford, Ohio, the First Baptist Church there for Dr. Charles Keene, one of my favorite churches and one of my favorite preachers. And I preached, and we had a great service that night. Oh, what a wonderful service we had. Dr. Keene was driving me back to the motel room. He said, Dr. Hiles, he said, one thing you said tonight. He said, my people told me after the service, one after another they came by and said, it's one thing Brother Hiles said tonight. The greatest thing he's ever said in all the time he's been coming to our church. I said, what is it? I don't remember saying anything unusual. And he said, Dr. Hiles, it wasn't in the sermon. He said it was an introduction. He said, you prayed for this church every day. And this preacher every day. You see, I start with Anchorage, Alaska. And I pray down the West Coast every day for churches. I sit in the auditoriums of those churches every day. Churches where I've been. I sit in the auditoriums and I take a few moments to love the church and love the pastor and pray for God to bless them. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, when you said that, you somehow broke the hearts of our people. You said today that you sit here in this platform every day in your mind and you pray for the First Baptist Church of Milford, and that I do, and for 300 other churches and preachers across America. I pray every day. And he said, just the thought that every day Dr. Jack Hiles is thinking about us and praying for us. He said that moved our people. Well, hallelujah, I got some better news than that. Every moment, my high priest at the right hand of God, looking down on his own precious blood, he loves me and is thinking about me every moment of every day. What a Savior. What a Savior. There's a second thing about it. That is, it says not only does he have me on his, the high priest had Israel on his heart, but next to his mind. Next to his mind. Not only this morning does Jesus love me, my high priest love me as he goes about his priestly duties and mediatorship. Not only does he love me, but he thinks about me. He thinks about me. I'm on his mind this morning. But I wonder what Jesus is thinking about this morning. Well, me. And you. Oh, you say he can't think about time. He thinks about all of us just for 1 second. He couldn't think of everything. Oh, but you don't understand. He's God. He can think about all of us at the same time. Yeah, he's thinking about you this morning. Glory be to God. No wonder the psalmist looked up and he saw the heavens. And as he looked up and said, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are up above the world. So I'm not quoting scripture now. So high, like a diamond in the sky. Starlight, star bright, first star I've seen tonight. I wish I might have this wish I wish tonight. And David looked up and he said, when I consider thy heavens, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, hallelujah, God, the Creator, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, he's mindful of little old me. Glory be to God. He's thinking about you this morning. There's a third thing He says, names the 12 tribes of Israel on his shoulder. What does that mean? That means as the mediator, the high priest, walked inside the holy place to mediate for the people as their only hope. By the way, that's the only hope to withhold the wrath of God. He's got to go in there and mediate, or the people are going to die. And as he walks in, on his heart are written their names. On his shoulders. What's that? What does that say? That means that high priest is bearing their sins. He's paying the penalty for their sins. Jesus is my high priest. What is it saying? It's saying this morning, January 29th, right? 1989. At 19 minutes until noon, my high priest, now, right now, up there somewhere on a what? Planet, yeah. Up there somewhere on a planet. Planet called heaven. City which hath foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. Where no crape ever darkens the doorknob, and no death ever enters, and no cemeteries, and no undertakers. I said that one time, and Brother Alt got a little worried. He's an undertaker. I said, no undertakers in heaven. Well, he'll be there. He'll have to get another business. That's all there is to it. But he's there now. What's he doing? He's loving me. What's he doing? He's thinking about me. And what's he doing? Please, this is the one I love. He's bearing my burdens. Did you ever stop to think that I have no place to go? Did you ever stop to think that I can't call the office and say, could my pastor make an appointment to see me? Ever dawn on you that there's no preacher in America to whom I can call and say, what did you do when your church was this size? Because there's no church this many size in the history of this nation. There's never been a church this size. Did ever dawn on you that sometime I'd like to go our baby girl, our girl Cindy, Linda, almost died out here at Dyer Mercy Hospital many years ago. When they took her little body in and she was dripping with the blood, and they didn't know whether she was going to live or not, the nurse was screaming, she's dying, she's dying, she's dying. I turned away and the first thought I had, I wish I had a pastor I could call to pray for me. But thank God, my high priest has me on his shoulders. He loves me. I'm on his heart, next to his heart. My name is written there. He thinks about me. He carries me on his crown. He thinks about me. But hallelujah. Thanks be to God. He reaches down and puts my burdens on his shoulders. Bears my burdens. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Stand up and shout. Lift your voices in holy hosanna. Rejoice in the goodness of God. He loves you this morning. Your name is written on his heart. Rejoice in the fact that he's thinking about you. You're on his mind today. And rejoice in the fact he wants to bear your burdens. You won't believe what I'm going to say, but that was not my sermon. My sermon's very short. He turns around. Hear me now. He turns around and says, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my mind. I love you with all of my strength. Now he says, I need a high priest too. I need you to love me with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. So he who is my high priest, with the engraving on his heart, shows that he loves me with all of his heart. With the engraving on his crown, shows me he loves me with all his mind. And with me on his shoulders and engraving on his shoulders reminds me he loves me with all of his might. He turns and says, now, would you do the same thing? Now, wait a minute. I don't have the heart that he has. If I loved him with all of my heart, I could not compare to his love for me. But he didn't ask me to love me as much as he loves me. He said, with all your heart. That's all. My mind is not like his. I cannot think like omniscience can think. I cannot love like deity can love. I'm not as strong as omnipotence is. But he didn't say, love me with all the might that I love you. He said, love me with all the might you have. He didn't say, love me with all the heart with which I love you. He said, love me with all the heart that you have. He didn't say, love me with all the mind that I love you. He said, love me with all of your heart. And I know a good deal when I see it. Brother, if I can get that much love from deity, if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the door, the resurrection and the life, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000, the omniscient God, if I can get him to love me, and all he asked me to do is love him with all my heart. And I want to say this morning. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to try to do it. I don't know how many times a day I look up and I say, I love you. I do not know how many times a day I do it. I love you. You're a wonderful God. I don't love you like I want to, and I don't love you like I'm going to someday when I get rid of this old body that hinders me. But I love you, and that's all he says. Look, do you spurn the love of a little baby? When I walk out this door in a few minutes, unless somebody's sick, they'd be one of the cutest little boys you ever saw in your life out here. Little David Depper. Little David's crippled. Little David is not well like your child is. But I'll walk out there in a few minutes and little David will be there. And he'll show off because he's learning to walk now. He walks real well now. He'll walk over to me like that. And he'll put his arms around me and he'll go, and I'll say, oh my, you're so strong. That hurts. And he'll grin and go, Now, wait a minute. He can't love me with a pastor's heart. He can't love me with a love that I have for his mother, whom I pastored when she was a child. He can't love me with a love that the pastor has for his dad and his mom and his grandparents. He can't love me like I love him. But I sure do like for him to love me with all of his heart. That's all he has. He can't love me with a pastor's heart. He can't love his mom and dad with a parent's heart. But he can love with a little crippled boy's heart. And I love it. And God looks down and says, you're crippled, Jack. He calls me Jack. You can't, but he does. Sometimes he calls me Dr. Heil. He looks down and he says, you're crippled, Jack. Your love is crippled. And I say, I know it. But I can go, been years since I told this story. With our kids, we used to go, I used to hold their hands like this, and I'd go four times, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's, do you love me? And they'd squeeze back 3 times, yes, I do. Then I'd squeeze back twice, how much? Then we both go, In fact, when I was a youngster, couples used to do that. Now, I never did it. No. Well, I take it back. My mom and I did it too. But anyway, I remember one time in high school, when I was in high school, I had a friend named Bob Keyes. And Bob dated a gal named Sylvia Jensen. And they were really with it. And we were sitting in the auditorium. Had 2,000 students in our big old school, Adamson High School in Dallas, Texas. And they were showing a movie one time in the auditorium. And Bob and Sybil were sitting right in front of me. In those days, I had never had a date in those days. Bob and Sybil were holding hands. And they'd go, that's do you love me? And she'd go, yes, I do. And he'd go, how much? And go, I could hear them grunt. So they broke up for a while and they weren't holding hands. And
I reached my hand up between the seats there. I took Bob's hand. He thought it was Sybil. I rubbed his hand like that. He rubbed mine like that. I took his hand and I went, "Do you love me?" He went back, "Yes, I do." And he was sighing. And I said, "How much?" And both of us went, and boy, you heard that masculine, I ran for my life. I really did. And but my God looks down, and my God says, "Do you love me?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "How much?" And I said, "As much as I can. As much as I can." He says, "I need somebody to..." He said, "While I'm interceding for you up there doing what you can't do, I want you to intercede for me on earth doing what I can't do. You can't represent yourself in heaven. I can't represent myself on earth. You can't represent yourself to God. I can't represent myself to man. I'll make you a deal. I'll represent you to God. Now you go represent me to man. I'll be your high priest. You be my high priest." But he said, "I want you to be more than just a high priest. And I want you to go out coldly and just telling people how to be saved. I want you to have me on your heart while you go and love me." Not only that, he said, "Not only that, but I want you to think about me." He said, "Love me with all, not only all your heart, but love me with all your mind." Just as he said, "While I'm up in heaven as your high priest mediating for you," he said, I'm thinking about you. Now he said, "While you're down on earth mediating for me," he said, "you think about me too." Did you ever stop and think how many times in the Bible the word meditate is mentioned? You'd have a hard time finding anything in the Bible of any recipe for success without finding the word meditate in there. "Blessed is he that man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." God said, "I'm thinking about you while I'm representing you this morning up here before the Father." He said, "Now while you're preaching down there, Jack," he said, "be sure and think about me." Every once in a while, many times, several times a day, I just sit down and think how wonderful he is. Think about him. Oh, how good a God we have. How wonderful is our God. And then he says this. He says, "Not only do I, while I'm mediating for you in the glory world, and while I'm representing you with the Father, do I love you as the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are written next to the heart, were written next to the heart of the high priest. Not only do I think of you as holiness to the Lord was written on his crown, but he said, I also bear your burdens. Your names are on my shoulder. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. You have a burden this morning, your high priest wants to bear it for you. Your high priest says, while I'm representing you at the Father before God himself, I'm thinking about you, I'm loving you, and I'm bearing your burdens. Now he says, wait a minute. He said, I want you, as you're my high priest, representing me on earth, I want you to love me with all of your heart, mind, and might. Mind, heart, shoulder. That's the high priest. Mind, heart, shoulder. And that's what Jesus does this morning. We're on his mind. We're on his heart. We're on his shoulders. You remember that story about that little lamb that got lost? Story of the lost sheep? Huh? And the good shepherd left the 99. The song says there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. No, they didn't either. No. He didn't leave the 99 in the shelter of the fold. He left the 99 in the wilderness. He loved the ones lost so much. He goes out. He finds that little lost sheep. You know what he said to that little lost sheep? Huh?
He said, I'm going to put my finger out. Now you hold on to it. And if you'll hold on to it, I'll take you back to the fold. That's not what he said. He picked up that little lost sheep and put him on his shoulders. That lost sheep wasn't holding out. Neither is this sheep either. On his shoulders. On his shoulders. It's not my strength that'll get me to heaven. It's his strength that'll get me to heaven. And he says to me this morning, he said, I'm your high priest. I also need a high priest. You, Jesus, you need a high priest. You need... Yes, he said, I do. He said, I'm up here interceding for you, so I can't be down there preaching. He said, Jack, you preach for me. But he said, while you preach for me, he said, love me and think about me and bear my burden. What's his burden? Souls of men. Jesus shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. For what does he travail? That sinners might be born again. That's what he travails for. I'll be quite frank with you. I think fundamentalism is dying today because of the lack of a heart. How long has it been since you just sat down and thought about it? Preaching in San Antonio, Texas the other day. A little Mexican lady came by. She talked in broken English, and she was she looked like she was 35, 40. And she and her husband, both very handsome-looking people. She took my hand, and she said, I've never seen you. She said, I've looked forward to your coming to San Antonio for all my life. I've read your sermons. I've read your books. I've listened to your tapes. And she said, I never thought I'd get to see you. And then she said to me, Brother Hiles, for years, I've taken 10 minutes every day to think about you and pray for you. Her husband looked at me and he said, Dr. Hiles, she's trying to tell you, we love you. My heart was so warmed. And the Savior looks down this morning and says, I have you on my heart. Put me on yours. I have you on my mind. Put me on yours. I have your burdens on my shoulders. Put my burdens on your shoulders. Every time a little bus worker goes out on a cold day or rainy or snowy day in Chicago on a Saturday, representing Jesus, you're carrying his burden. Yeah. So I ought to write a song. Yes, I carried Jesus' burden he could no longer bear. Yes, I carried Jesus' burden in answer to his prayer. His anxious fears subsided. His spirit was made strong. For I took Jesus' burden and left him with a song. Thank God this morning, he's my high priest. But thank God also, I'm his too. Father, I pray this morning you'll help us to revel in